myself. So, you know, I'm really, really looking forward to this evening. I hope you are as well. To think about how we can be distinctive, how we can have hope in our life, and how we can be followers to Christ. So, yeah, without any further ado, I'm going to share our readings this evening. And there's two readings. The first reading is from the book of Colossians. And we're just going to read one verse from chapter 3, 17. "And whatever you do, whether word or deed, do it all in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him." And our second reading is from the Gospel of John. And again, it's John 3, 17. "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Hopefully you're going to get a bit of a flavour for what tonight is going to be about. Let's pray before we start. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you sent your Son into the world, not to condemn us, but to save us. Thank you that if we know that tonight, thank you that we can really revel in that. And Lord, if we don't know that tonight, may you come in your mercy and show us that you have not come to condemn us, but you have come to save us and to love us. And I pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Great. So we're firstly, welcome. It's Advent Sunday today, isn't it? So that special time as we prepare for Christmas, and we eagerly anticipate the birth of Jesus, and it's really a pivotal moment in history, isn't it? It's where God the Creator stepped down and lived on Earth. And I've been loving doing Alpha the last few weeks because it's been really great to deepen my faith as I've done Alpha. And some of the facts on week one were amazing, just of how and who Jesus is. And actually that he was not just a historical figure, but a real person. And just tonight, he's not just a historical figure, he's alive and living today. And that still blows my mind that God the Creator stepped down to want to have a relationship with us. So what should we get? What should we do with this preparation time? What should we be thinking about? Well, what I'd like to bring to us tonight, and I ask that, you know, these aren't my words; they're God's words. I really believe God has this for us tonight. It's a time where we're asked to be distinctive in Advent. It's a time we're asked to be hopeful, and it's a time when we're asked to be a follower. So we're going to use the Shawshank Redemption to help us in those themes tonight, and that's the plan is. So if you don't know what the Shawshank Redemption is, it's a film that was made over 20 years ago. I first saw it when I was 17. I feel really old saying that now. It was a really quality film back then. It was a low-key prison film that didn't even recoup its costs. But slowly, it's become one of the most popular films of all time. I don't know if you know, but at the cinema, it was an absolute flop. It didn't make any money at all. While there were things like Men in Black and other big blockbusters that Tom Cruise was in, it didn't make any money at all. And it was a real flop. However, on video, sorry, that's video, everyone. That's pre-DVD days, okay. However, it's a totally different story. Despite its disappointing box office, Shawshank became one of the top 10 renting videotapes in 1995. Its subsequently TV airing would pull in viewers in world record figures. So we're going to meet the two main characters today. We're going to meet Andy Dufresne, and Red, played by Morgan Freeman. And they're in a notoriously harsh prison called Shawshank. So who's Andy, first of all? Well, Andy's a banker. You don't have to boo. You might want to boo at the next bit, because he's been convicted of a double murder, the murder of his wife and her lover. And he is given two life sentences. As the trial develops and moves forward, you know, Andy seems cold, he seems distant, but he always protests his innocence. Whereas Red, who's Red in the film? Well, Red is also in jail for murder. But he has never said that he's innocent. He's always admitted what he did. And he has couched it in the way that he committed these crimes as a young man who didn't really know, he was an impressionable teenager. He didn't know any better. So we've got two characters. These are our main heroes within the film. Okay, Andy, who keeps on protesting his innocence, and Red, who is guilty of murder. Let's see our first clip as both characters meet for the first time. We need to have a bit of grace for the sound. I've given them a really hard job tonight because one of the things, obviously, they've got to cue the DVD up, but you know there is a bit of fruity language in it. So I've given them specific times that they can play the DVD and specific times that they're not to play the DVD. So just throwing that out there, a bit of grace tonight for the guys. How are we doing? Are we all right? Or do 1 minute? Cool. See, Advent is a time of waiting. It's okay to wait. In our busy lives, we should just slow down, not have anything instantly.
Risk goes up, price goes up. It's making it even $10.
$10 it is.
Waste of money, if you ask me.
Why is that?
Folks who run this joint love surprise inspections. They find it, you're gonna lose it. They do catch you with it, you don't know me. You mention my name, we'd never do business again. Not for shoelaces or a stick of gum. Now, you got that?
I understand. Thank you, Mr.
Red. Name's Red.
Red. Why do they call you that?
Maybe it's because I'm Irish.
I could see why some of the boys took him for snobby. He had a quiet way about him. A walk and a talk that just wasn't normal around here. He strolled, like a man in a park without a care or a worry in the world. Like he had on an invisible coat that would shield him from this place. Yeah, I think it would be fair to say I liked Andy from the start.
Thanks, guys. That's great. So, we've met our two characters in Shawshank Redemption. Andy and Red. For those of you who didn't quite get the Irish joke in there, I didn't throw that in because of Trevor. The idea was actually that in the book of Shawshank, he was actually a white Irish guy, and that's why the screenwriter threw that joke in there. But what's the first thing that I want us to think about Andy? Andy's distinct. He's different from all those other prisoners. There's one thing that Red shares, and if you watch earlier, is that everyone isn't the same there. And a little bit earlier on, there's a wonderful line, and I can't use all of it, where it says, everybody in here is innocent. And so everyone is the same in this jail. They're all pretending to be the same. Everyone's innocent. But as Red says, Andy's has a quiet way. His walk, his talk is like a man in the park without a care in the world. But perhaps most profoundly, I think, is how Red sees Andy's distinctiveness when he looks at him and says he's a bit like he has an invisible coat that would be able to shield him from all that is around. And I was really taken by that as I was watching that this week, is the fact that that distinctiveness was really on show and was really visible for others to see, others to tease, others to bully, but also for others to admire. I've said already, Advent is a time of waiting, a time to be distinctive and to journey into hope. Tonight's film won't always be hopeful. There'll be moments, and if you watch the whole film, and I really encourage you, I'm just looking out there, I don't think there's anyone under 15, so yes, you can all go and watch it. Okay, I really would encourage you to watch this film, because it's just a great film. But at times it isn't encouraging. At times there isn't any hope in there. It's hopeless. But I can remember as a young 17-year-old watching it, not taking my eyes off it. It had me from the very start to the very end. It's a great, great story. A man committed a crime, or a man has been convicted of a crime which he says he hasn't committed. He now has to spend the rest of his life in prison. And this provides the total opposite to a journey of hope. I don't know about you, but if you were innocent of a crime and you had to spend the whole of your life in prison, that is a hopeless situation. So can there be any distinctiveness in waiting? Much of what we like, much of what we think we like, we think we have control over, but we don't. Because we find ourselves in a place between the pain and the promise. What do I mean by that? I mean, the pain is where we live in a fallen world, where murder happens, where suffering happens, where cricketers get hit on the head and die suddenly. And we don't have the answers to those big questions. They're painful. It's where a fallen world corrupts God's original plan, God's original hope for all of us. And that corruption calls out to be made new. So that leads us to the promise. The promise that God one day will make new heaven and new earth. If we don't have confidence in God, we will lose hope. However, waiting can assure us that when he comes good on his promise, how great that will be. Waiting is hard at times. It's not easy. But when it comes through, it's superb. I'd like us to ponder two biblical truths tonight. Firstly, God does come through. And if you don't believe that tonight, I'd love you to talk to someone who knows and loves the Lord Jesus before you leave. And for them to share a story of encouragement where God has come through in their life. Because I could stand here and tell you umpteen times where God has come through in my life. And you can't take that truth away. It's truth, it's reality in my life. But also, there is another truth, that God does work while we wait, even when we don't see things are actually working. I'll say that again. God does work while we wait, even when we don't see anything at work and actually happening. God is there, in control. God's primal objective for our lives is not to give us all that we want. And interestingly, Red is the man in prison who is the man, is the go-to man that you get stuff from. Andy was actually negotiating a rock hammer. And you'll find out if you watch the film why he wanted a rock hammer. He's a geologist. So he had a lot of banter about the fact that he was going to escape with this rock hammer. A rock hammer is not much bigger than this microphone with a little metal tip to the end where you shape rocks. And Andy spent a lot of his time shaping rocks in the film, chess pieces, and that's how he used to spend his time. But God's objective for our lives is not to give us all that we want. His primal objective is to make us into the people he wants us to be. And that's hard to hear sometimes. Do I want to be the person God wants me to be? But sometimes in that waiting, the greatest shaping inside our hearts takes place, where we become those people that God has designed and longs for us to be. And we have two options here. We can focus on what is not happening. We can focus on, I haven't got that promotion. I haven't got that. This has not arrived in my life. This has happened. This has been taken away from me. Or, you know, and that leads to a dark place. That leads to hopelessness. Or, we can focus and say this. God, I do not have the timings of my life in my control. I'm not in charge of the universe, but I know right now I am alive, and in this very moment, I need your help. God hears that prayer of our hearts, and he loves to walk with us in that. Scripture says that God wants us to be conformed into the image of Jesus, to be distinct like Jesus. The master plan here is to take us on a journey where we become the character and shape and the likeness of Christ. Now we need to slow down to see this. Our lives are busy, they're fast, they're instantaneous. We all sat there, didn't we, while the sound guys got the DVD up, and actually all of us were pulling, come on, get it done, come on. No, I actually think that's very helpful for us. We live in a today where everything is now. Pick my phone up, I look on the internet for the result. Bang, now, bang. Not waiting till 5 o'clock on Sports Week like I used to. We need to slow down. Advent, guys, gives us that opportunity to slow down. Helps us to reflect and to evaluate our likeness of Christ. I'd love you to do that today and for the coming weeks as we build up to Christmas. Do you look like Jesus? Because like Andy in our film, we too can have a distinctiveness that shields us with an invisible coat. We can have Christ with us. It becomes a bit like that invisible coat, wrapping us around us, looking after us. I read this week that we live in a world of opportunities. That's not deniable. But our culture is full of opportunists that rob us of these moments. I don't know about you, but this Friday I turned on the news and I was horrified to see people fighting over TVs, computers, people being trampled on, you know, for a TV screen so that they could sit down and be on their own and watch their own things. Black Friday. I don't want to judge people for that. I'm you know, it's an American tradition. Last time I looked, I live in England, Great Britain. You know, America's given us lots of great things. But there's some things we need to be distinctive. I'm not having a go at American people here, by the way. I'm saying it's being about being distinctive. Do you know why the US came up with Black Friday? Because people were fed up sitting at home with their friends and family at Thanksgiving. So they wanted to go out and shop. So the next day, what did the consumer world do? It came up with an idea that would make people spend their money and get out of their homes and spending time with their family. Shocking. Sounds like Boxing Day to me, you know. How are we going to live distinctive lives that represent Christ? Our first reading tonight says, how we do it. Whatever you do, whether word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I'll say that again. Whatever you do, whether word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now, that's fine for us and those people that know Jesus and love him. But I hear people say who don't, that's not for me. I can't do that, Tom. I don't believe that. And that's fine. I get that. But do we want to be people who are distinct, or do we want to be generic people who are the same? Do we want to just be robots? I challenge you tonight. Because if we aren't distinct, we lose that hope. Here, in light of Colossians, what's the key? It's not what we do. It's not the fact that I'm a football coach. It's not the fact that some of you here are teachers. It's not the fact that some of you are accountants. Whatever it is, it's why we do it is so important. Let's watch our second clip, where Andy has just found out the only hope of being found innocent has gone. Someone has been killed, and that truth has died with that person. But in spite of this shattering blow, he tries to take his friend Red and help his friend get a purpose and a reason to look for the future outside of the prison and not give up on life. See what you think.
My wife used to say I'm a hard man to know, like a closed book. Complained about it all the time. She was beautiful. God, I loved her. I just didn't know how to show it, that's all. I killed her, Red. I didn't pull the trigger, but I drove her away. And that's why she died, because of me, the way I am.
That don't make you a murderer. Bad husband, maybe. Feel bad about it if you want to, but you didn't pull the trigger.
No, I didn't. Somebody else did. And I wound up in here. Bad luck, I guess.
Yeah.
It floats around. It's gotta land on somebody. It was my turn, that's all. I was in the path of the tornado. I just didn't expect that the storm would last as long as it has. You think you'll ever get out of here?
Me? Yeah. One day, when I got a long white beard and two or three marbles rolling around upstairs, they let me out.
I'll tell you where I'd go. Zihuatanejo. It's in Mexico. Little place on the Pacific Ocean. You know what the Mexicans say about the Pacific?
No.
They say it has no memory. That's where I want to live the rest of my life. A warm place with no memory. Open up a little hotel. Right on the beach. Buy some worthless old boat and fix it up new. Take my guests out. Charter fishing.
Say what to nail.
In a place like that, I could use a man that knows how to get things.
I don't think I could make it on the outside, Andy. I've been in here most of my life. I'm an institutional man now. It's like Brooks was.
Well, you underestimate yourself.
I don't think so. In here, I'm the guy who can get things for you, sure, but outside, all you need is the yellow pages. Hell, I wouldn't even know where to begin. Pacific Ocean? Shit. About to scare me to death, something that big.
Not me. I didn't shoot my wife, and I didn't shoot her lover. Whatever mistakes I made, I paid for them, and then some. That hotel, that boat, I don't think that's too much to ask.
Thanks, guys. Nicely done there as well. As Red drops an F-bomb. To be hopeful, Andy has to accept who he is. Here we see him lay himself really open. He's really vulnerable here. He's vulnerable because he's just lost someone who was going to say that he was innocent. But also, he's really vulnerable because he tells Red who he is. He said, I killed her. I didn't pull the trigger, but I drove her away. And he's looking for redemption here. He's looking for something to be made new. He's looking at this little town. I'm not going to try and say it, but it's a little town in Mexico. It's a warm place, he says. A place with no memory. I don't think that's too much to ask, he says. A warm place with no memory. I guess a man who's been convicted and has two life sentences over him wants somewhere that is warm and with no memory. Advent helps us acknowledge our need for a saviour. It makes us ask, who is Jesus? Why did he come? God didn't just leave humanity to daydream like Andy about life without brokenness and mess. No, in Jesus he gives us the solution and the promise that all things are made new. There's a wonderful verse in the book of Revelation at the end where it says, God will uncry our tears. I long for that day, the tears that I've cried in my life, where God will uncry them. I do not know how he'll do it, but he will. That's redemption. That's making something that was dead into something that was alive. Something that was lost is found. Another reading that we were going to have, but I chose not to do, was this. In John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that you may have life and have life to the full. God is not just wanting us to have life in heaven with him, with right relationship. He's wanting us to have right relationship with him now and life to the full today. There's wonderful words from John 3:17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. That's why we're building up to Christmas. That's why we're anticipating the arrival of Jesus. That's who Jesus is, folks. He's the Son of God who saves us. He doesn't condemn us either. It's wonderful, isn't it? Tonight we're looking at two men who have been condemned. But Jesus does not condemn us. He actually stands in our place. And those beams of the stable, those cross beams that covered his head and covered Mary's head, they point to the cross, where Jesus fulfills his mission, where he dies for us. We too must first, like Andy, acknowledge we cannot fix all of our problems. And in some instances, we are the problem. Tonight, I want to challenge you, if you don't know Jesus, I'd love you to ask him to come into your life, to help you. I'm not going to say your life is going to become easy. I'm not going to say everything will be fixed straight away. And not going to say that even plan A will be what happens. But he will be your guide in all that lies ahead. It's time to be a follower. This Advent time, let's be followers of Christ. I have come that you may have life and life to the full. Our film was about followers. In the success of its, the fact that it flopped at the cinema, but that when it came to the rental market, it was a huge success. Against all the industry expectations, this film rapidly shaped up as a great home viewing hit. So what's happening here? Why did Shawshank become such a great DVD on people's lists to watch? Ask any video dealer of the day back in the 90s. Yeah, do you know what? We didn't have Amazon Prime back in those days. You used to have to go down the shops. Blockbuster's not here anymore, is it? That was quite a big chain. Down the road from us, we had this little corner shop. It had loads of, you know, videos. Nearly said DVDs. Just a little aside, our family Friday night used to be me and my sister Bonnie fighting over who had the choice. And Mum would buy a massive big bar of Cadbury's Dairy Milk, and we'd sit down for a couple of hours. Bonnie would be furious if it was a James Bond film, or even a Shawshank, actually. She didn't really appreciate that. And I wasn't too enamoured on chick flicks. But if you were to ask any of those people who were renting the DVDs or the videos of those days, they said, would say one thing. People were talking about Shawshank Redemption and recommending it to their friends. They weren't just recommending it to their friends, they were telling about their family. People were going back and watching it for a second time, a third time, a fourth time, again and again. This was a massive factor into the fans coming back and renting this film that we've watched tonight, or extracts of it. Some people even said this film changed their life. I read this week, people said, it got me through a really bad time in my marriage. It got me through a really bad time in my life. It helped develop personal relationships with the themes and the characters in the comfort of our homes as we watched it. But the main thing is that people became followers. They copied. They heard someone else talk about it, and they went out and thought, yeah, I'll try that film. And I've been challenged. When was the last time we did that for Jesus? When was the last time that Jesus had a massive impact upon our lives? And we said to somebody else, do you know him? He could do this for you. I know this chap called Jesus. He's the centre part of my life. Because, folks, tonight, Jesus is the solution for the world's problems. And if Jesus is the world's solution to all the problems out there, we should be shouting about him from the rooftops. Or do you want to keep it to yourself? I love the fact that we've just watched that clip. Andy is a broken man. But he doesn't want to just hold on to that dream for himself. He wants to give it away to his friend. I could do with a man who can get things. I love that. It's relationship. I don't want it all for myself. I want to share it. I want to give it away. Come and join me. Make that hotel. Help me fix the boat. Walk alongside me. Partner with me. Would you signpost others to a treasure so valuable that you would want them to just walk past it? Jesus tells a story in the Bible where there is a man who discovers a pearl in a field. And the man sells absolutely everything he has for that pearl. And he buys the field. But he has treasure. He has treasure indeed, it says. Folks, are you ready to give your all to Jesus? To sell everything. To find that pearl, that one treasure. Because that's what Advent's about. That is what Advent is preparing us to do. It's no half measures with Jesus. It's all in or nothing. Let's watch our final clip as Red goes on his journey.
I mean, Mexico is way to hell.
There's a harsh truth to face. No way I'm going to make it on the outside. All I do anymore is think of ways to break my parole. So maybe they'd send me back. Terrible thing to live in fear. Brooks Adeline knew it. Knew it all too well. All I want is to be back where things make sense. Where I won't have to be afraid all the time. Only one thing stops me. A promise I made to Andy.
Thank you.
Dear Red, if you're reading this, you've gotten out. And if you've come this far, maybe you're willing to come a little further. You remember the name of the town, don't you?
Sewateneo.
I could use a good man to help me get my project on wheels. I'll keep an eye out for you, and the chessboard ready. Remember, Red, hope is a good thing, maybe the best of things, and no good thing ever dies. I will be hoping that this letter finds you, and finds you well. Your friend, Andy.
Get busy living, or get busy dying. That's goddamn right. For the second time in my life, I'm guilty of committing a crime. Parole violation. Of course, I doubt they'll toss up any roadblocks for that. Not for an old crook like me.
Fort Hancock, Texas, please.
I find I'm so excited I can barely sit still or hold a thought in my head. I think it's the excitement only a free man can feel. A free man at the start of a long journey whose conclusion is uncertain. I hope I can make it across the border. I hope to see my friend and shake his hand. I hope the Pacific is as blue as it has been in my dreams.
Guys, hope is a wonderful thing. Jesus is the hope of the world, and that is what we prepare ourselves for these coming weeks as we get ready for Christmas. The hope of the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you sent your Son Jesus. Not to condemn us, but to save us. To help us to live distinct lives. To fill us with hope, to journey with you, even when it seems hopeless. And to follow you, and to be made like you, day by day. Lord, I pray for each of us here, that we may encounter you, and become changed. And more like the image of Jesus. Amen.